Begin with, it's been an honor and a blessing to be with you today. We thoroughly have enjoyed it. The fellowship and your kindness has been so greatly appreciated, and the little package you gave my wife, it thrilled her to pieces and me too, and it was a blessing. We thank you so much for that and appreciate it so much. And again, I appreciate the honor of coming, being with you this morning. I saw a young man this morning. I saw him many, many years. And Brother Cassidy, and I've known him for a long, long time, go way back. And it's a blessing to see him this morning as well. And when I knew in school way, way back also. Turn in your Bibles this evening to St. John chapter number 13. St. John chapter number 13. All right, you'll be right there by now, okay? Well, I shared one little story with you this morning, so I'll give you another one tonight before we get started, okay? I read the other day about a fella that always fell asleep in church, and his wife asked the preacher what she should do to keep him awake during the service. And the preacher suggested that she take some Lamburger cheese and hold it under his nose, and if he started to doze off again, sure enough. She went, got the Lamburger cheese, held it on her nose, and he started to doze off again. Well, sure enough, the next time they went to church, the old boy nodded off again. And his wife reached into her purse and pulled out a piece of Lamburger cheese and put it under his nose. About that time, he yawned and said, "Roll over, Ethel, you got your feet in my face again." Now, You may be like the fella whose feet stunk so bad that when he put odor eaters in his shoes, he disappeared. Now, okay. All right. I hope you're in St. John chapter number 13. This is probably going to be a little bit different than you've probably ever heard before. I know we've got one here that's already know about it, but that's in material, so it's a blessing to see her anyway. In St. John 13, beginning in verse number 1. "Now therefore the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into Simon's heart Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he has come from God and went to God, he arises from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, doest thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my feet." Now, I want to stop right there, and I want to share with you a simple little message. Are your feet clean? Are your feet clean? Well, the reason for this story is really incredible, and it's amazing because it involves a towel, a bowl of water, and a dirty, stinky, smelly feet. Now, the shadow of death is hanging over the head of Jesus at this present time. But yet, the weight of the world literally is on his shoulders. Now, he's not thinking about himself right here because he's concerned about the dirt and the feet. Now, this is not primarily a story about person's feet, but it's a story about a person's heart. Now, the key takeaway is you have to give up to go up. You see, if you're going to be like Jesus and touch people that Jesus did and make an eternal difference in their lives of others, you've got to do what Jesus did. One, in verse number 3, you have to surrender your power. And he said in verse number 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God. Now, Jesus knows he has a power over everything and everybody. He knows that he has come from God and he's going back to God. He knows that he is God. He can do anything he wants to do, and what he does, he does. And he prepares himself to wash the disciples' feet, the smelly, dirty feet, and dry them off with a towel. And he was willing to do for his disciples a task that was so demeaning and so degrading that the disciples wouldn't do it for him, much less themselves also. So here you have the Messiah. You have Jesus, you have the Redeemer, you have the Savior of the world, you have the King of Kings, you have the Lord of Lords, and you have the Son of God. And he said in verse number 4, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now, we see here the Son of God, but we also see the Creator of the universe. You see, God stepped from behind the curtain of nowhere onto a platform of nothing. He spoke a world into existence. And the reason God came from nowhere is because there wasn't anywhere for him to come from. And coming from nowhere, he stood on nothing. And the reason he stood on nothing was because there wasn't nothing to stand on. And standing on nothing, he reached out where there was nowhere and caught something when there was nothing to catch. And he hung something on nothing and told it to stay there. And then standing on nothing, he took the hammer of his own will and struck the anvil of his omnipotence. And sparks flew everywhere. And he caught those sparks on the tip of his fingers and slung them into space and beckoned the heavens with stars. And nobody said a word. The reason nobody said anything, because there wasn't anybody there to say anything. So God said to himself, "That's good." Dear friend, when there was nothing, there was God. There never been a moment when he was not was, and never been a moment when he is not is. He's the uncaused God. He's the unchanging God. Moses said, he asked God, he asked him, "Well, what name should I use?" "You just tell him I am. Just tell him I am, Saul." David said in Psalms, "Thou art the same." Over there in Malachi, he said, "For I am the Lord, I change not." So he picks up a basin of water, and he takes a towel, and he slips off his tunic, his garment, and he's kneeling there with a basin of water and a towel, and he begins to wash feet. Now they would use warm water for the winter, and they would use cold water for the summer. Now, this was an expression of love and humility, is what it was. A good example is over there in 1 Samuel 25, in verse 40. He says, "When the servants of David were come to Abigail, to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us to thee to take thee to write, to take thee to wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, Behold, let thy handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." You see, there were no servants there to do the task. But there was one person, technically a servant, but he had a servant spirit. So Jesus is teaching how to be a servant here. You see, washing feet in those days were assigned to a household slave. Because Mark over there in chapter 10, the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister, the Bible says. So the Lord, he takes a linen cloth and girds himself about the waist. Paul mentions over there in chapter 4 in Galatians, he says, "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, when he talks about the ways there, he's talking about service. It speaks of service. And he begins to form the task of washing feet. Now, this speaks of the walk. In verse number 5, you'll notice, again, he says, "And after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." So we got here a lesson about humility, and you got here a lesson about grace, is what you got. Now, they have in here the Paschal Supper, okay? And the hands, they had to be dipped in water, okay? Well, there were only two kinds of washing. Either you dip your hands in the water, or you take and you pour the water over your hands, one of the two. You see, that's only two kinds of water, the dipping, or you put your hands and pour the water on it. Now, it got a little bit humorous when he gets to Peter. And Peter said, "You're not going to wash my feet." And the Lord said, "You better let me, or you're about to stick it in your mouth, Peter." So the act of refusal was not an expression of humility on Peter's part, but it was a manifestation of pride, self-will, if you please. So Peter's attitude might have been sincere, but it was done in ignorance, in other words. So Peter, what he does, he goes to the extreme. And he says here in verse number 8, Peter saith unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If you won't wash my feet, you can have no part with me." So Peter, in his strong will nature, was brought into subjection. And Peter said, "Well, I'll just go ahead and I'll just jump on in the tub, and I'll just get wet all over." And Peter said, Jesus told him, he said, "Peter, you don't need a bath. You had your bath and you're clean." Now, in John 21, 18, this is what he said. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee hither thou wouldest not." Now, your feet are dirty and needs to be washed. So what Jesus is doing here, he's giving an object lesson on humility, on holiness, and on happiness. Those three lessons there. Now, he's not speaking primarily in physical terms right here, but he's speaking in spiritual terms, in other words. In verse number 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Now, Peter does not understand. You see, the things that are transpiring at the supper table, he doesn't understand it. You see, he's not primarily dealing with a person's feet. He's talking about a person's heart. The incident is not an accident. Now, three lessons that you need to learn. When he knelt to wash those disciples' feet, he's describing our salvation, okay? He's giving more than an object lesson right here, how to wash feet and how to clean feet. He's not speaking primarily of physical dirt right here. He's speaking primarily of spiritual defilement right here. In verse number 2, Peter saith unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Now, God desires two things from his followers. One is a surrendered heart, and two is a servant spirit. He said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22 this statement, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Now, as we know and we study the Bible, Jesus spent his whole lifetime, his ministry, around dirty people. We know that. I mean, he walked where lepers walked. He slept where lepers slept. He ate where lepers ate. He spent time with the drunkards. You see, he's not saying, Peter, your feet stink, Peter. Your feet stink. And now until you get your feet clean, boy, I'll have no part with you. He's illustrating the nature of salvation. He's illustrating the cleansing power of salvation. Over there in Psalms 139, he said, search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting life. You see, in the Bible, sin is compared to dirt. Sin is like dirt and mud, or mud, one of the two. So a metaphor God uses in his word to describe salvation is the word washing or the word cleansing. In John 1:7, he said, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, bathing is to the body what salvation is to the soul. Just as a bath cleans a man on the outside, Jesus is teaching that salvation cleanses a man on the inside. See, no matter how dirty you may be tonight, every stain, every spot, every blemish can be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, we are washed by the revelation of the Word of God. In John 15, verse 3, he makes this statement. Now you are clean through the Word, which I have spoken. In Ephesians 5, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. So there is the washing of the revelation of the Word of God. Then you are cleaned by the regeneration of the Spirit of God. And Titus 3:5, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So you are washed by the restoration of the Son of God. In Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, go back and look at verse number 9 here in this chapter. He said, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not to wash, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. In verse number 8, Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. So what Peter's saying, there is absolutely no way that I'm going to let you wash my feet. No way at all. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you cannot share and have fellowship with me, Peter. Now, this changed his attitude altogether right here. In verse number 9, he said, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. You see, our walk in this life needs to be cleansing and maturity in this life. That's our walk. Cleansing and maturity. In Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are set apart. So Peter was saying, Lord, if it means having fellowship with you, then don't stop at my feet, whatever you do. Wash my hands and wash my head. And he says in verse number 10, Jesus said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is cleaned every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. He's saying, Peter, if you've taken a bath and washed, salvation, okay? You don't need to take a bath, okay? But you need to wash your feet, separation, okay? The need is not to wash the whole body again, just that part that becomes dirty and defiled. You see, in that day, back then, they would take a bath at the beginning of the day. And they didn't keep taking baths at when their feet got dirty every time, and they need to wash the dirt off their feet. You see, Jesus was not referring to physical dirt. The disciples, every one of them looked equally clean on the outside, every one of them. But none of them looked any cleaner than the other. None looked any dirtier than the other. He said, hey, you look the same on the outside, but one of you is not clean on the inside. And verse number 1, For he knew who should betray him, therefore said, ye are not all clean. You see, everyone that day was physically bathed. Everyone had not been spiritually bathed. He's speaking of Judas. You see, Judas had been whitewashed, but he'd never been washed white. Okay? He said in verse 11, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. You cannot tell which one of the disciples were dirty by looking at them, especially Judas. He was a charter member, so to speak. He may have cast out demons in his time. He could have maybe healed the sick. He was the treasurer. We know he carried the money back. But Judas' problem was he never had a bath. You see, the Lord is taking aim and identifying Judas, who called the Lord Jesus Master, but he never called him Lord. Not one time. Jesus says, one of you are not clean. And he says in verse number 10, he says unto him, that he that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is cleaned every whit, and you are clean, but not all. Now, in verse 13, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. Now, chapter 13, verse 13, has 13 words long without the italic word so. 13 words, 39 letters. So 3 times 13 in my book is 39. 8 letters. Judas has 5 letters, 5 words. Five words. That, 5 letters. Okay. I'll get it straight in a minute. Okay. Now what you got me, all right? His last name, Iscariot, has 8 letters. That's 13. Now, do you just know what the number 13 in the Bible means? Rebellion. Rebellion. Now, you know, numbers are important in the Bible or they wouldn't be there. Okay? I mean, we start at number 1 is unity, 2 is division, 3 is complete, 4 is the world, 5 is grace, 6 is man, 7 is perfection, 8 is new birth, 9 is fruit of the Spirit, 13 is rebellion. We could go to 30, which is the blood. We could look at 14 is bondage. I mean, they're important, or they wouldn't be there in the Bible. I'm reminded about a mother. Had a little boy. That evening time, it's time for him to go to sleep. He said, go run the water and get you a bath. He said, mother, don't make me take a bath. Let me take it in the morning. She said, son, you take your bath now, tonight. You always take it at night. You're going to take it, and you're not going to put it off. Go take the bath. Please, mother, this one time let me take it in the morning. She said, son, I'm tired. I'm give out. I've had a bad day all day. And he just began to cry. He said, please, mother, just one time. She said, why in the morning? Why not tonight? He said, mother, ever since school started, every day, the teacher asked the class, how many of you had your bath today? And he said, mother, I hadn't been able to raise my hand all year. Now, people say, Judas lost his salvation. Judas never had it. He never had it. Judas had nothing to lose, because he had been starched and ironed, but he never had a bath. Over there in John 6, verse 70, listen to what it said. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now, in verse 10 of this chapter, he said, Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is cleaned every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Now, the word washed there is different than the word bathe there. Okay? When you use the term wash, W-A-S-H, it speaks of separation. But when you look at the word washed, W-A-S-H-E-D, that speaks of salvation there. You see, the word washed, it means to wash a certain part of the body. But bathed, it means to wash all over or bathe all over there, okay? So he's saying, Peter, when a person is saved, when he commits his life to Christ, he is immediately bathed all over. All his sins are washed away, past, present, and future. I do not need to be washed or saved again because I've sinned. I only need my feet washed. I need to wash the part of my being that becomes defiled by sin. I may need my eyes. I may need my ears, my nose, my tongue, my lips, my heart, even my feet. But when my feet get dirty, he becomes spiritually defiled. Over here in Mark chapter 7 and verse number 2. And when they saw him of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say with unwashed hands, they found fault. And he says in that same chapter, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are those that defile the man. Now, back then, there was a custom to take a bath every morning. A wealthy man would do that. If he had a fountain in his backyard, he would bathe all over if he had a fountain in his backyard. And the shoes back then, they wore sandals. They didn't have Nikes or Reeboks or Snickers, none of those. They walked the town and worked in those same sandals every day. And those roads were dirty. They were the same roads where cows laid their patties and down the road, the mud and the dirt and the field. Same road. So Jesus was picking up the towel. Now I can imagine when he got there and did that, picked up that towel, the conversation that probably went on among those disciples. Peter, why don't you wash my feet? I can't if I keep them in my mouth, Lord. James, will you wash my feet? I don't do feet, Lord. I'm sorry. Judas, you could do it, wouldn't you? I got an appointment. I got to leave soon. You see, the disciples ought to be washing his feet. But they are arguing all the time that who's going to be the greatest. So he says over here in Luke 22 and verse 24 this statement. There was also a strife among them, which of them which should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and let he that is chief as he that doeth serve. You see, their problem was they were so busy worrying and arguing over who's going to be the top dog. That's what they were doing. That towel is lying there on the floor. Nobody's there to pick that towel up and lift it up except Jesus, the only one. You know, 2,000 years later and right now, things are still the same way. Still the same. He said in verse number 2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into his heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. You see, when you came into a man's house with dirty feet, they didn't say, you need a bath, son. You need a bath. You need a bath. The problem was not that he needed a bath. He needed to have his feet clean. After you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you don't need another bath. But as you walk in this sinful world that we live in, the feet get dirty. You don't need to take a bath over and over and over again. You don't need to get saved over and over and over again because your spiritual feet get dirty. He said in verse 14, if I then, Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also to wash one another's feet. He's saying, you need to take that bath. You need to be saved. But once you take a bath, you never need another. Let me ask you a question. How many times do you have to be saved in order to get saved? With one word? One word? Okay? Well, how many times do you have to be saved in order to stay saved? Twice? Three times? How about with once? Do you buy that? Thank you. One time. Jesus said, you're clean. But that's not the problem. The problem's not the body. The problem is right here. That's the problem. The feet. It describes our salvation. But it depicts our sanctification, which means to be set apart. He said in verse number 8, Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Jesus is speaking in spiritual terms right here. Okay? That's what he's doing. He's not saying, Peter, you need a bath. He's not saying that. Your feet need to be washed, or you can have no part with me. You see that word part that I just mentioned to you in that verse? In that verse number 8? It speaks of the term allotment, or the word share. It's a root word that we get our word fellowship from. He's saying to Peter here, Peter, I cannot have fellowship with anybody who has dirty feet. You see, there is a difference in fellowship and relationship. I can get out of fellowship, but I can never get out of relationship. Okay? You ain't going to pluck me out of my Father's hands. No matter how hard you try. I may get out of fellowship a while, but I'm not going to get out of relationship. You see, you can get out of fellowship, but you cannot get out of relationship. Fellowship with Jesus allows us to be a part of what he is doing. You see, sin can never destroy your relationship with God. Peter said, if you don't wash your feet, you can't have fellowship. You can't have communion together, Peter. Peter, you want to share in what I'm doing? Yes. You have to have clean feet, Peter. Before this day is over with, your feet's going to get dirty. My feet will get dirty. There's no such thing as a perfect, quote, sinless person. If you say your feet never get dirty, you deceive yourself. If you say your feet never get dirty, you call God a liar. He says over here in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You see, when we harbor sin in our life, he's grieved. And we can't have a part with him until we deal with that sin. There's no such thing as a perfect Christian. No such thing. You see, denominations, they try to make the act of foot washing an ordinance of the church based on that passage. But however, Jesus is giving us an example, not an ordinance. He's teaching us that as humble himself, to be humble. He served disciples, washing their feet. So we ought to take the place of an humble servant and serve him as well as others. That's our job, to go out and serve others, minister to others. I'll give you one verse and we'll close. Verse 15, look what he said. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. You got it? That's it right there. An example. Foot washing. How many ever, let me just say, raise your hands. How many ever had your feet washed before? Anybody? Anybody ever had their feet washed? Nobody. Man, I should have brought my tub and water. Lord, because you lined up and had a foot washing tonight. I wish I knew that, but it's too late now. You won't get them washed. You have to do it when you get home, okay? For sure. It's an humble expression of humility when you come forward and you take those sandals off and you kneel down and he takes that towel and wash those feet and clean them feet with that towel and put those sandals back on and he goes back out to the world. It's a very humble experience. Very humble. And that's what it deals with right here. And I trust tonight that you understand what I'm talking about in foot washing. Your feet's going to get dirty, okay? But you're not going to lose your salvation, okay? You got it, okay? That's all that matters then, all right? Let's stand together and we'll have a word of prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just love you tonight, Lord, and thank you for salvation. Thank you, Father, for this story about the disciples and Jesus washing their feet. Help us learn to minister to others, Lord, and help us to serve. Help us to be good stewards. Help us to be humble. Lord, we're so blessed and so thankful how you so much blessed us. And I thank you for the rain today, Father. I praise you for that as well, for traveling grace. I thank you for these people, Father, that's here tonight. I pray, Father, that you will minister to their heart, Father, that they'll be a good servant as well. And, Father, if we go out into this world, our feet's going to get dirty. But help us to realize that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us, Father, that when we do sin, that we'll confess it and repent of it and forsake it. Now, Father, again, we just thank you for the blood. Thank you, Father, that you're seated on the right-hand side of the Father. Lord Jesus, we praise you and give you glory for everything you've already done and what you're going to do today. As we leave here tonight, give us traveling grace, have us have a good week, have us tell somebody about Jesus, Father. We love you and praise you and give you thanks. In Jesus' sweet name, we'll say amen and amen. Have a blessed week.